In the world, there are money managers. A money manager, of course, is someone who is charged, someone whose business it is to take care of some funds. We may not, as we look at our individual situation, view ourselves as a money manager. But the Bible says that that is the case. Beginning this evening, we want to look at some Bible passages and some Bible principles that relate to managing money. As we explore this topic, we will see that the Bible has a lot to say about controlling money, no matter how much or how little we have. When we look at the scriptures, we find that people are stewards of various things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says that here, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. We may be stewards of money. We may be stewards of children, God's word, our physical body, or something else. Whatever we are a steward or manager of, the principle from 1 Corinthians 4 says that God expects us to manage that item or the items and manage it or them well. When I think about money and people, I realize that it is a sensitive topic for a lot of folks. It's probably not the easiest topic to preach on, but it certainly is a biblical topic when we look at the Bible, and we also know that it is a topic that is badly needed. When we look at our world, we find a lot of people who are bad money managers, and I think each person would say that that is true. If the Bible, therefore, offers some guidance in this area, then that should be something that we are willing to study, to seek, and apply in our life. When we think about being a manager of something, whatever that is, whether it's money or some other resource, that word implies responsibility and planning. Jesus recognized this in places like Luke chapter 14, verse 31. You may remember the account. Jesus spoke of a man who was a king. Being a king, of course, he had a number of resources at his disposal. He had a lot to manage. A king, of course, is going to manage his kingdom. Jesus said this particular king was deciding or thinking about waging war against another kingdom. And by extension, that other king had a kingdom as well. Christ said before the war would be launched, that ruler would sit down and count the cost. Well, what was he going to do? The king was going to manage his resources. He was going to be responsible. He was going to be involved in planning because he was a steward over that kingdom. Most people would say, well, that's right. That's good. We would expect that. We would demand that from our rulers. We want them to take the resources that they have been given, and we want them to plan responsibly. We want them to manage those resources well. They must be good stewards. But it's interesting that when people look at their own lives, their own resources, somehow there is sometimes a disconnect. They say, well, yes, we expect that for the people who have a lot, who are over a lot. You manage that well, but in my own life, where I don't have nearly the amount that somebody else does have, I'm on a smaller scale, so that point does not apply to me. Too many have the idea that proper management of wealth and anything else is only for the important people in life. Well, these items are certainly for the Bill Gates of the world, so the millionaires and billionaires, but not limited to them. Because remember again, 1 Corinthians 4:2, if we are a steward of even a dollar, the Bible says that we need to be good stewards. The text doesn't say if we're a rich steward. So we want to make wise choices with everything that we have. I've never been back to one of my high school reunions. But I have over the years sometimes going to see my parents and Teresa's parents in Illinois. Sometimes I have found in town or maybe heard through some other source about some of my high school classmates. And as I look back from the time that I graduated until now, I have found that some of those people were poor planners. They managed items from their life very, very poorly. Some of my classmates became involved with illegal drugs when they were in high school, and they continued with that into their adult years. There were others who turned to alcohol, and they started drinking in high school, and they have continued on with that practice. At least one of my classmates became so involved with the ways of the world that he finally killed himself. If you were to, and this may be true for you, I don't know, but if you were to look at the classmates, at least some of the classmates that I have, you would find some people who have experienced premature aging. You would find some people who have some medium to serious health problems, not because it was sort of the luck of the draw, not because something just happened to come up like some terrible disease, but these were really self-inflicted because of some of the choices that were made, and the same is true regarding family problems. I know some classmates who were bad managers, not only in the area of money, but in the area of health and so many other choices. They did not plan. They did not act responsibly. Most of us, I think, would say that when a young person is between 15 and 18, those high school years, a lot of times they're not looking very far ahead. They're not thinking too far into the future. And maybe they were not taught this, but Christian parents should certainly do some teaching. adults in Christian families should be encouraging their offspring to think about the future. They should encourage their young people to think about 1 Corinthians 4:2. You have been entrusted with certain things, and maybe you're going to be entrusted with additional things as time progresses, and whatever you have now, whatever you have in the future, these items need to be managed, and they need to be managed very well. If you have been given a body by God, it's something that needs to be cared for. And if you do things to destroy it, then you will be classified as a poor manager. Poor management comes in so many ways, and it is something to be recognized and avoided. One of the ways that bad management can occur is in the realm of money. We've heard the expression hand to mouth. Or stated another way, sometimes people refer to living paycheck to paycheck. And then there's the expression I know my parents talked quite a bit about to my sister and I growing up, about the people who have money that burns a hole in the pocket. Now maybe you've used that expression or a similar one in your family. But basically what those expressions are saying, that here is a person who does not have to live paycheck to paycheck. That is, that they're paid or they receive some funds, and they, because of their bills and because of the income level, would be able to still have some money left over at the next pay period, but they choose not to make that choice. And they simply spend money as it comes in. Income may be very limited for others, and after the necessary obligations are met, there's nothing left. And sometimes there are people who are in that boat in this life. So I'm not talking about that particular category of person. But I'm talking about a high percentage of people who live paycheck to paycheck when this kind of lifestyle is not necessary. To put it in simple terms, to use some actual numbers, let's say that there is a person who is making $1,000 a week. His or her expenses are $800 a week. Well, of course, that means that there is $200 a week extra, and in a four-week month, there is $800 each month potentially that can be left over and managed or planned for in some way. Now, that $800, or at least part of it, might be tucked away for an emergency. It might be held back for unemployment or sickness. Now, that's certainly not as much fun as spending that $800 on fun and enjoyment each month. I mean, that you can go out to eat quite a bit, quite a few times on $800 a month. And we have sometimes the attitude in the minds of people, I'm going to take that $800, I'm going to take that full amount, and instead of setting any of that back, instead of being a good manager, I'm going to choose fun. I'm going to blow it, I'm going to spend it. Somehow, I'm going to go through every single dollar that is extra because that brings me pleasure. Most of us, I think, know, especially if you have had any association with the secular work world, that there are a lot of people who live in this manner. And they're not hard to identify, especially in the workplace, because they're the fellow who may come in Monday or the woman who may come along Tuesday, and they will say, I need a loan, right? Maybe you've had that experience, and that's not a pleasant thing for those people to come along and ask that. But week after week, they are out searching, they're out seeking for money. I know my dad, as he worked in the shop for a number of years for John Deere, that was one of the things that he had to contend with week after week after week. People knew that he did not spend all of his checks, so can you lend me money? And some businesses have actually been lent. Businesses have been started for this very purpose. We will lend you money until your paycheck comes. If a person were following the principles given thus far, and again, we're talking about their income and their level of debt. They're not going to be exactly even, but they have more income than debt. Then they would not be in this kind of situation. Poor stewardship of money and other items is not just bad management, folks. It is a violation of scriptures. Poor stewardship is usually not accidental, and when people do that, when they have the option of not putting themselves in that position, but they choose to do so, they are poor stewards, and that's wrong. 1 Corinthians 4:2. If we're going to manage money and other resources correctly, then planning needs to be one of the things that we do, Luke chapter 14, and also ensure that we take responsibility for what we have. Another key when we think about proper management of money from a biblical perspective is the acquiring of assets. No matter where you look in the world, you usually find that there are some people, a lot of people, who want to make money. When we look at the Bible, what do we find regarding acquiring wealth? We know that we need to manage it. We know that we need to be responsible. There needs to be some planning. But what happens when money comes our way? Well, part of good money management is a willingness or a desire to work. God said in the 2 Thessalonian letter, chapter 3 and verse 10, that if a person is not willing to work, then he or she should not eat. Earlier I said bad stewardship is a sin. It is a violation of the scriptures. A related sin is a person who refuses to work. Such a person may want to freeload off others throughout their entire lives. And that is a form, that is a type of mismanagement, and it is wrong. Now, sometimes we're asked to give money to bad money managers. And when that happens, a person is actually asking us to compound their sin. They've done what was wrong, and now they're trying to drag us into the process. Since I am the one who is usually at the building, I get most of the phone calls that come here. And we receive, on an average month, quite a few benevolence calls, and I'm sure that's true for the other religious groups in town. I will tell you factually that I could give away our entire weekly collection every week to people who are looking for money. You could triple it. You could take it times 10, and I could find folks who would be willing to take that money and say, we can put it to good use for this, that, or the other thing. Now, not everybody who calls is a bad steward of money. Sometimes there are circumstances that come up that people can't prevent. Sometimes income and expenses are just about equal. So there are some legitimate cases, and there are times, certainly, when we step forward and help people who have legitimate situations. But I'll tell you this, for every one that's legitimate, I'll march 10 by you, or 20 by you, or 50 by you who are not. There are dozens of people, hundreds of people in this community who are poor managers of money, and then they hope the trustee or a local church will bail them out. No planning, no responsibility is taken, and then people call for instant help. People need to learn that God has a will regarding several aspects of our life, and one aspect of his will is proper management of our resources, including our money. Another Bible principle that we find when we think about managing money is the getting rich idea. We have a nation full of people who want instant wealth. And if you don't believe that, just check some of your emails. One of the ones that shows up in my box about twice a month is the common scam. Somebody is living in a country like Africa. They have a relative who just passed away, and the relative was somehow associated with about $20 million. And since you are a good person, you are an American citizen who is religious, all you need to do, at least this is what the email says, is send a note to this person, let them know about your U.S. bank account, and you'll get your share of the $20 million, about half of it. And it would be nice if you shared some of that $10 million with your religious group or somebody else, but you can keep several million just for being a nice religious person. Well, that's a scam. That's a hoax if you see it. They start off saying, well, we want just your bank account, and I'm not saying this from experience, I've read about it, but they start out saying we want your bank account, and then it just goes downhill from there. People have fallen for this scam. Thousands sign up for it every year thinking that they're going to get rich. We're going to be able to have several million dollars in just a month or two. Others pursue various other types of get-rich schemes. And at the heart of every scheme, whichever one it is, there are some problems. Two of the problems are greed and a desire to avoid working. Even good people can be affected by get-rich schemes and thus be poor money managers. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and Jeremiah chapter 8, Jeremiah 6 verse 13 and Jeremiah 8 verse 10, the prophet said, priests and prophets alike were guilty of greed. Pharisees were affected by the love of money, Luke 16 verse 14, and the Hebrew writer, as he came to the close of his epistle, Hebrews 13, verse 5, he said, I want you to be free from the love of money. And these are not new things. We gave the reference from Jeremiah before his time. Back in the Old Testament, we have Proverbs 28, verse 20. People under the Old Testament were interested in getting rich quick. The writer referred to those who were eager to get rich. Money is to be earned. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, used responsibly, and part of this means avoiding get-rich schemes. Anybody who thinks that they can take $100 and in 30 days turn that into several thousand dollars is rarely a good money manager. At least I don't want them caring for my money, and I think that's probably true for you as well. Another principle, a valuable principle for tonight's lesson involves debt. Our day and time is quite different from first century culture. For us, a car costs a whole lot more than first century transportation costs. Housing certainly costs more. We have several types of insurance that they didn't need to pay for back then. Prescription drugs, you go down to Walmart or Walgreens, wherever it is, and you're paying a fee that they didn't have to face back then. Very, very costly. Because life is so expensive, it's almost always the case that people will carry some level, some measure of debt. I have met people over the years, and some of them were Christians, who were willing to sign on the dotted line almost any time a person came along and said, we can finance that for you. We will give you credit if you want to take it home today. And a lot of people said, well, hey, that works for me. Let me sign so I can take it home right now. The interest rate didn't matter. They didn't care what that was. That's bad stewardship, a bad money manager. They didn't care about the price. They didn't care that down the street it might be less. Facts were completely irrelevant. Do we recall from Matthew 5, verse 26, where Jesus talked about paying every penny? That's in the context. Remember, he was talking about having some difficulty with people. Didn't resolve it. You get cast into jail, and you're not going to get out until you pay the last cent. Well, Christ didn't have in mind there a 30-year house loan, but his words do offer a thoughtful principle. Good money management. If we're going to be proper stewards, working, saving, planning, being responsible, that also means taking a responsible attitude towards credit. That means if I buy something on credit, if I set up some kind of payment plan, if I'm going to be a godly person, if I'm going to live as the Bible describes when it comes to managing my money, one of the questions that I have to ask is, do I have the means to repay it? What if I lose my job before it's paid for? How am I going to take care of that debt? It is a legitimate debt that I owe, and I need to make good on it. Do I fully understand the terms of the credit contract? If we're going to be a good money manager, and again, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says that we must, do we understand the terms before we sign the agreement? Is there a better deal elsewhere? Or might there be a better deal at some other time during the year? Debt can be a crippling thing. And it can be something that that destroys people. Certainly in the past, we've seen Christians who have been overcome by it. And Jesus recognized this too in his life. Think back to Matthew 18, verse 25. There was a man, Jesus says, who was so severely in debt. This man was so surrounded by bills. The Bible says his wife was sold, his children were sold, and all of his possessions were sold as well. Now, there's a warning there as far as money management. Be careful. And it's not the only passage where this comes through. Proverbs 3, verse 28 says, pay off things today. Don't let it go until tomorrow. Again, not a passage which forbids credit, not a passage which forbids debt. But here's the idea of a person who's involved in money management. Well, I've got the funds today. I could pay off that today, but, you know, I'd rather take a trip. And I'll go ahead and I'll leave that bill until next month. God says that's wrong. We're not going to be a good money manager. We're not going to be a good steward if that is our attitude. So there is another passage that's useful. Solomon was a very wise man. He had some things to say about debt. He spoke of a person who co-signed a note and then thought about it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And he said, you flee to that man and you plead with him that note can be ripped up and disposed of. You don't want to be involved in that. He recognized that being in debt can actually be a means of suffering. Proverbs 11, verse 15. He warned that our very bed might be snatched from us. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 27. And again, all of those things were ways of saying, strive to be a good manager of your resources. Bad management can be a very serious thing. I believe I've used this illustration once before, but it fits in so well tonight that I ask you to bear with me. Several years ago, there was a young man, a member of the church, who got married. He needed someone to co-sign a loan for some bedroom furniture for him and his wife. He lived in the same apartment complex that Teresa and I did. And my level of trust in this man, though he was a member of the church, was shaky at best. I just didn't trust him. And he kept pleading for me to co-sign the note. Oh, Brad, we need some bedroom furniture. My wife isn't going to be happy if we're sleeping on the floor. Please, please, please. You're the only one that I know that can co-sign the note. Please do that. She's going to be so happy if you do and so happy if you don't. So one day I said, Bob, let's sit down and talk. He said, oh, good. He thought that he'd broken my will and I was going to co-sign the note. And I said to him something like this, Bob, I will go down to the furniture store and I will co-sign the note for you. But I want to be absolutely clear about some things. If you miss a single payment, if you are late by just one day, I'm going to have your bed and everything else that I've signed for in the set repossessed. You and your wife are going to be sleeping on the floor, and you get only one shot with this with me. And if you blow it, that's it. There is no grace. There is no mercy. Your bed is going to be the carpet. And I gave him a pep talk about once a month. I don't remember if that lasted for a year or a year and a half. But I do remember that he always made the payments, and the payments were on time. And that was one of his difficulties. He had been a poor manager of money in the past, and that caught up with him. It was not a good thing. He had been a poor steward, and he paid a price for it. Proper management is a huge problem in the world. Look at the bankruptcies that are filed. And it saddens me to say that sometimes it is in the church as well. Sometimes people have difficulties that can't be overcome, but quite often that's not the case. A general principle for each Christian is that we need to be a good steward. And being a good steward means doing all the things that were mentioned tonight. We are good stewards of all that we have, and that certainly includes the eternal part of our being. Is it not so sad that there are some people in the world who, when it comes to secular wealth, are so wise? People can take $1,000 and turn it into $5,000 or $10,000 or $50,000, given care, time, planning. They're acting responsibly, and they do so well. Is it not said that you would be willing to, if you had $500,000 or $1 million, go down to a person and say, I'm entrusting you with this amount of money, and you believe it, and they actually do very well with that amount of money. But those same people who can do so well with dollars and cents have also been entrusted with the most important thing that mankind will ever have, and that is the eternal part, our eternal spirit. And with that, they're so careless. They are completely irresponsible. They do nothing to manage it correctly. And the fate for that is depart from me, ye cursed, into the lake of eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Stewardship is such an important part of our life. When it comes to money, we want to manage that correctly, but certainly when it comes to our eternal being, we also want to treat that correctly as well. And tonight, that's what we ask. Not only are you dealing with the matters of this life in accordance with God's will, but are you caring for your eternal part as well? Have you taken the steps to become a Christian, faith in God, repentance from sin, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? That's how we render that initial care to that part of our being which lasts forever. And then are we continuing to live according to the Bible to manage our life in view of the principles that we have in Scripture? If not, tonight you can start that management process, and we invite you to do that as we stand and sing the selected songs.